This is the Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686.
Now, the writers, if you haven't heard, the writers and the motion picture producers have come to a tentative agreement. Now, this doesn't really, in the world of TV viewers like you and me, it doesn't pack the punch that, say, actors going out on strike or something like that. Writers, the only town that really is all that interested in the specifics of this might be Hollywood itself, but I thought what we would do is bring one of the writers on, one of the people who've been watching these negotiations very carefully. Mr. Robert Green is a television writer. He's done episodic TV. He's done feature films. He watched these negotiations. He was as wrapped up in it as anybody could be whose job is on the line. And I thought what we would try to do here, Mr. Green, and Bob, are you there?
Yes, sir, right here.
I thought what we would try to do, by the way, this little rubber thing just fell off, Craig, so try and I'm sorry, we put a little rubber thing here to make the microphone not make noises, and the rubber thing fell off.
That's great.
Okay, I'm sorry, you don't know what I'm talking about, do you?
No, I'm afraid I don't.
Okay, well, the rubber thing fell off. All right, so so it did more damage than it did good by distracting me. In any event, you as a writer have been watching these negotiations carefully. You've been watching how these things would come down, and I imagine you're very relieved that the process is over with.
Well, we're relieved as writers, yeah, Phil, that they've finally been able to come to some substantive agreement on the major issue.
What was the major issue concerning the writers and their problems with the producers?
The reality television, more than anything else.
Okay. Well, like shows like Survivor.
Shows like Survivor, This Weakest Link, if you want to call them shows, I don't consider them shows. They don't necessitate writers. And we think that what really makes a show go is the writing. The public seem to like these shows and continues to reward these shows with their viewership, as seen by Survivor's success. As a writer, I take that personally, and I'm offended that the TV viewer would have such a problem with me as a writer, because I was able to get through school, and maybe most TV viewers weren't.
Well, the TV viewer then was the primary problem with what was going on with this so-called the possibility of a writer strike?
I think so, and I think if you talk to most writers, they'd say the TV viewer, in watching reality shows like The Mole and like Survivor, were turning their noses up to TV writers.
Why? Why would someone leave a perfectly well-written show to go to a reality show because they've got a problem with writers?
Because, and we knew this early on when we were beginning these negotiations, we knew the average person would have a problem with us because we experience life on a number of levels that they don't. They watch these shows because I think there's an inherent resentment among the average TV viewer toward writers. We're better educated, we're more literate, we read, we experience life on a number of levels, and the average TV viewer does not. And as a result of that, they're angry at us, and so they won't watch shows that we write.
You know, it's never entered my mind to watch Survivor based solely on the fact that I know these other shows are written by writers who got a better education than me.
You may be the exception, but a lot of these people who didn't get out of the ninth grade, especially the producers, and that's who we're really talking about, not only the TV viewer, but the guys we were negotiating with, they resented us. Because most of these guys that produce films and television, they didn't get out of high school. So
to your way of thinking, in other words, that a personal element was involved in these writers' negotiations, in that the writers have an education, TV viewers and movie producers don't, so the viewers went and watched Survivor instead of the stuff that you write.
Absolutely. The other thing is, a lot of the things that we write, a lot of TV viewers don't get or understand. I think...
Well, you guys, I mean, the writers have put out ER, writers have put out Friends.
Oh, there's a lot of successful things that writers have written. And so the TV viewer can't help himself. He's got to watch it. It's so good. But after about 20 minutes, they start hating themselves because they know this was written by a guy who experiences life, has a better education, can conduct conversations intelligently, while I may make a fool out of myself, knows how to pick wine, can order for a lady in a restaurant, all the things that a writer knows how to do that the average TV viewer cannot do.
All right, Bob Green is with us, and you may have heard that the negotiations between the writers and the producers have borne some fruit. There's a tentative agreement. Mr. Green is a TV writer. He says the number one issue around this was that TV viewers didn't want to watch shows written by writers. They wanted to watch
reality shows.
Reality shows, because they didn't like the fact that the writers were smarter than them.
I think there was a lot of it. As
I mean, this is a kind of a...
I know it sounds a little bit far-fetched, but believe me, anytime I go to a party, anytime for instance, when I'm around my wife's, when I'm around my in-laws, is when I really notice it. They really don't like me because I use words they don't understand. Let me tell you.
Your wife's family.
My wife's family. And I know a lot of writers experience this, and my wife's family, in many ways, is representative of most TV viewers. They watch Survivor, they watch Weakest Link, they watch Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, they watch Cops, they watch America's Most Wanted. All these shows that don't need writers, they watch because they can't stand the fact that I'm a writer and I know big words.
All right, 1-800-449-8686 is our number. As we talk with Mr. Robert Green, a television writer, about the apparent end to these negotiations, it has borne some fruit. And again, this is a labor problem that is far away from our experience. Although you're telling me, Mr. Green, that these negotiations were tied directly into TV viewers per se.
You know, that's the interesting thing I think about these negotiations, in that most people didn't quite get what the possibility of a writer's strike was. But I think they will understand that these negotiations took place because the writers were just not going to take it anymore. People going off and watching The Mole and Big Brother when they could watch a perfectly well-written show like Malcolm in the Middle, and they're simply going off to punish us.
But what can a TV producer or a movie producer do? How can they force a TV viewer, hey, watch this show, have some respect for our writers?
Well, I think you can start by saying it. This is a TV show that was written by someone. Please don't resent him because he could put the square blocks in the square holes and you couldn't. Please watch this show because we think you'll like it. When we look back at, for instance, Hill Street Blues, Phil, you recall that show?
Yes, I do.
Hill Street Blues got the ratings because they finally said, look, we've won Emmys. Most people resented Hill Street Blues because it contained good writing
certainly TV viewers want good writing.
No, I'm not saying they don't want good writing, but they knew it was written by some guy who would make them look stupid at a party. And
all right, but I go back to my question. So they knew that Hill Street Blues was written by someone to make them look stupid at a party, and that made them angry.
That made them angry. That made them resentful, yeah.
But I go back to my original question. What could the producers do about that?
Well, as I say, they could do what Hill Street Blues did. You can take out an ad, you can promote, and you can say, okay, this was written by a writer. All right, he may have a better education than you. We know you're watching this from your, whatever you want to call it, you know, the house with the chain-link fence. We know you don't have a lot of money. And we know that this is the kind of guy who, you know, can make you look stupid. But please watch anyway. And forget about, we don't want the glory. We just want the money, and that means what we want is people to watch our shows.
When you say glory, what do you mean?
You don't even have to know that you're watching a show that was written by someone. I don't care.
Well, if you write a movie, if you write a TV script, if you do any of that, don't you want written by Robert Green?
I, at this point, I don't care. All I want is a piece of the take. They could put it was written by Alfred E. Newman, and it really wouldn't matter to me. I just want to be remunerated properly. And I want the people to come back and watch our shows and not be upset.
Do you feel you're better educated than most TV viewers as a writer? Do you think this criticism is right?
Well, that's a good question. I do have an education.
Where'd you go to school?
I went to Yale.
You went to Yale?
Yes, sir, I did. And then I took some writing courses at the University of Chicago. Yeah, I probably am better educated than most of the people watching. And, again, if my wife's family is any indication, they don't like me because I make them. I used a word the other day in front of my wife's brother. I said, we'll rendezvous. And I'm assuming and I don't know, Mr. Henry, but do you know what that means?
Yes, I do. It's a French word. It means meeting.
Yeah, exactly. And he looked at me and said, oh, using those big words. And I had it.
Did you have to explain it to him?
I had to explain it to him, yeah.
1-800-449-8686. Devin, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, sir. Hi.
Yeah, I just want to make a quick comment regarding this writer's belief that viewers are basing their decisions on what show they're going to watch on their feelings for him. That is the most insane idea I've ever heard.
It's an extreme idea.
Well, it was a ridiculous idea. I have never sat down and watched a TV show or not watched a TV show and because of my feelings for a writer. That's ridiculous. It's pure enjoyment or entertainment.
Well, let me ask you this, sir. Do you know who? Did you ever watch the show Winds of War?
Excuse me?
All right, I'm trying to think of a TV show that, Phil, obviously people would watch because they knew the writer.
Well, I mean, any of the movie of the weeks based on Don Steele, or do you know any writers, Devin?
I am not a genius when it comes to the entertainment field.
But when they
turn on their TV and they decide they're going to watch a TV show, okay?
Right.
Regardless of what you think,
right.
It is because it entertains them, okay? And they enjoy it.
But it doesn't
not because of you. Well, arrogance is what's leading you to believe that you're so much better that people have resented for you. And that's arrogance.
Devin, I understand what you're saying. What I'm simply saying to you is that these reality-based TV shows...
And that's what you're talking about, right?
Yeah.
You have
Survivor,
resentment. That's all you have is resentment because they're successful.
No, but the reason why they're successful is in part because most people go, aha, I'm going to watch that, and that writer who knows all those big words...
No, see, your reasoning is wrong. You think they're watching it in resentment towards you, and they're getting you by watching that. That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life. And I don't want to argue with you because you're not making any sense. There's no logic or reasoning behind what you're saying.
My wife's family, okay, they think I'm some kind of a big shot because
I don't care about your wife's family. You're talking about 250 million people.
Right. In other words...
They don't have resentment towards you. They enjoy a show.
I'm not saying they don't enjoy the show.
Start thinking beyond your little dome.
Let me ask this quick. If I could jump in. I watched Survivor. I'm sure, Devin, you've watched some of the reality-based show. Well, even even Weakest Link needs a writer, doesn't it, Bob?
Weakest Link has a staff of some writers who write some of the questions, but it's not the way...
Not the kind of writing you're talking about.
No.
All right. But I watch those shows, as I'm sure Devin does, because they are entertaining. And
I'm not saying that they're not, Phil. What I am saying is in the back of your mind, in the back of Devin's mind, you can stick it to a writer by watching it.
And you think that's why we're doing it?
Not 100%.
What makes you think? First off, 99.9% of the people that watch TV have never met a writer. They don't know any writers. They sit down, they watch TV for enjoyment, not because they respect you.
I'm sure you've been to a party where somebody used a big word or got your girlfriend interested in conversation, and you're thinking, boy, get a load of him, right?
And so, say he sells a product, I'm no longer going to buy his product because he used a big word.
Well, I'm not going to say that, but I'm saying I probably bugged you that your girlfriend got interested in some intellectual...
You're so arrogant. It's unfathomable.
Let me ask you how arrogant
you are.
Well, wait a second.
No, I'm going to ask the question here, Bob. Is it possible you've got a little bit of a tunnel vision concerning... You're
absolutely
a writer, and this has been a very stressful time for writers. I happen to know you guys are worried about going out.
Here's the thing that bothers me, and I'm not accusing you or Devin. These reality-based shows... Okay, they stink. And that's
your opinion, Bob, because you're a writer and you're miseducated.
So in other words, I got to suffer because I got a college education. And this Ann Robinson, the host of Weakest Link, she was a bar wench 6 months ago.
Who cares?
She's pushing beer in some pub in London.
Okay, it doesn't matter.
You're not making any sense.
All right, Devin, thank you for your call. I'm going to take a very quick break because we're a little late here. Robert Greene, he's a television and film feature writer, is on with us talking about the recently concluded negotiations between the writers and producers. He says one of the things the writers didn't like is that the viewers are watching more reality-based TV shows instead of episodic shows because they don't like writers because they know bigger words than them. And got out of the eighth grade. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
Here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
And we are with Robert Greene. He's a television writer, does episodic TV, has done feature films, just one of the many writers in Los Angeles who's happy that this writer strike is over. And I know that this is not the most glamorous area of the entertainment field, but I thought we'd get Mr. Greene on because it does involve us as viewers of television and movies, that you guys write these movies that we like.
But not anymore. Okay.
Well, you mean the reality?
Yeah, now everybody's watching Weakest Link and all this reality TV.
You mentioned that one of the things you guys are asking for is more respect from the TV viewer and the studio to acknowledge that you guys write really good stuff.
Yeah, even if we are smarter than the average person who watches television, look, why should I be punished because I stayed awake at English Lit? While all of the people that are watching television, they were throwing paper airplanes. Writers are not your enemy. We're your friend. And what we do for the average TV viewer is we take them places they've never been. I was going to say never been. We take you into a police precinct, and maybe a few of your listeners have been there. You know,
there's an undercurrent of like you don't like TV viewers.
I just don't want to be cornered at a... I don't want to be held... in other words, I don't want somebody not to like me because I'm funnier than them, and that's really what's going on.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Here is Jennifer on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hi.
Hey.
I just have one word for your writer, egotistical maniac. I think he's jealous.
Maybe. Jealous of what?
Jealous of us. You think that
I'm jealous
so
of you
smart?
Sitting.
No,
I,
you want to know.
I'm
you
jealous
know
of you
something?
Sitting in your trailer. Come on.
No, I work. Excuse me, I work for Texas A&M Medical Center. I work with people 10 times
that?
Smarter than you. I
so
work
what does that mean?
For
so
postdoctoral
you
research
what do?
Associates.
So you artificial insemination for cows. Why should I be jealous of you? See what I'm saying? So, Jennifer...
I don't know. Why don't you put your head out of your ass? And, you know, maybe if you would take a few seconds and quit being
this
a jerk,
I mean.
Maybe you
this
would see that's
mean,
why your in-laws don't
There's
like you. Not because you're
remotely...
smart, because you're not. If you were smart... then you wouldn't be talking like this.
If I was smart, I'd be in Houston with my hand up a cow's rear end. Is that it?
Oh, yeah. Like, I have a... Yeah, you're so smart. You really know Houston that well.
Jennifer, what's
I don't
that
think
at,
so.
Jennifer, what's that at the end of your arm? Oh, it's a cow. Excuse me. See, that's the kind of humor that I do at parties, and when you crack a joke, it falls flat.
Oh,
look, we're not doing...
You don't know me. You don't know who the hell I am. You don't know what I do for a living.
Hey, Jennifer.
You don't know how smart I am.
Hey, Jennifer, what time is it?
I bet
you I'm sorry, there's a cow on the end
IQ
of your
test.
Wrist.
What is your IQ?
Now, what did you ask me?
What is your IQ?
I don't know what my IQ
is. Oh, you don't know what your IQ is?
I know it's higher than yours, probably.
Oh, sure.
Well, let's
sure
look at it.
Is.
Okay.
You know, on a scale of 190 IQ, I have 140, so you can just kiss my ass.
On a scale of 190, you have 140. I don't, is that
yeah, 190 still? Being genius.
I thought 160 was.
Not on some scale.
Okay, which one are you reading? The one from Betty Crocker or the?
Okay, look. You know you can crack jokes all you want, Bob. What the woman is basically saying here is that you sound arrogant, like.
Look, do you watch Survivor?
No, I don't.
Okay, that's because you've got respect for me as a writer. So what are you arguing with me?
No, I don't have any respect for you anymore because you're rude, crude, and socially unacceptable.
How am I rude and crude when I say that I
because
don't want
Because you're sitting here calling every single person that watches Survivor stupid. Excuse me, but my fiancé's parents watch it, and they are far from stupid.
Jennifer,
they are
all...
far from stupid. I think, now, I'm not saying that everybody in the world is smart and genius, and I'm not trying to say you are stupid, but you have to understand that there are very smart, intelligent people out here who watch shows for fun.
All right, can I ask you a question?
Because
can I ask you
they
a question?
Know it's fake.
Can I ask you a question? When you said 140, are you sure you weren't reading your bathroom scale?
Right. I wasn't reading my bathroom
okay,
scale.
So that
and
was
if
the,
you call me fat, I will come up there and I will shove my hand up your
yeah,
ass.
Up my rear end, yeah. So you got a cow on one hand and me on the other.
All right, look, thank you, Jennifer. We got to take a break. This is not going the way that I wanted it to. We have with us Robert Greene. He's a TV writer, and he says the reason why the writers wanted a strike, or at least wanted some negotiation, they want more respect from TV viewers and movie producers, because producers of TV, film, and movie viewers all hate writers because they know bigger words than them and are funnier at parties. 1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Henry Show.
1-800-449-8686. And now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
The writers and producers in Los Angeles and Hollywood have come to a tentative agreement, and that all that means is that there's a lot of people who won't be out of work, for starters, which is important, and also, I suppose, those of us who enjoy television and movies and all of that stuff can go on watching it unabated so that there's no reruns. But from a human standpoint, I know that it's very important. Bob Green is with us. He's a TV writer. All of this, you say, hinges on the TV viewer and their distaste for writers.
Well, let's look at this program, Survivor. They airlift some white trash into a jungle, and that's all of a sudden more interesting than what I write?
Sarah, what do you mean they airlift some white trash into a jungle?
That's exactly what they did. They went out, they found an actor, a guy that climbs telephone poles for a living, somebody who, I don't know, crawls under a car for a living. They airlift him out into a vacant lot, and then they say, boom, and all of a sudden that's getting ratings. That is not interesting. Nobody's watching that show necessarily because it's interesting. They've got a little bit of an axe to grind. They got a little bit of, if you'll pardon my language, a little bit of a hard-on for writers, and they hate me.
Well, you brought up your wife's in-law, your in-laws, as an example. They don't get your jokes.
No, they don't. They come from Ontario. These are people, they're good, sturdy people, but they've been in the tire retreading business now for about 50 years. I mean, generations of them retreading tires. I don't call that my kind of people.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Here is Betty on the Phil Hendry Show. Betty, go ahead.
I'm speechless right now. I thought he was an egomaniac before he made these passing
remarks. This doesn't have anything to do with ego. This has got nothing to do with
I am in total agreement with the previous callers. He is an egomaniac. I thoroughly enjoy my television shows. I'm an avid fan of Survivor. I was sitting right there whenever it was on last night. I wouldn't have missed it for anything.
Can I ask you a question? Don't you think that it is an anti-family value program to airlift some people into a jungle just to see if they'll have sex after 2 weeks?
Sir, I think the fact that you call them white trash speaks something for your character.
Know it. I mean, you know and that's what we're looking at.
I think you need to examine within yourself the reason why your in-laws don't like you. You said they're from Ontario. Maybe they don't understand some of your jokes because they are from a different culture.
All right, let me ask you this. Knock, knock.
What?
Betty, I'm just going to do a knock-knock joke, and I'm going to make a point doing, okay? Knock-knock.
Oh, no.
Please. Knock-knock.
No.
Mr. Henry?
What? Okay, I'll do it.
Knock-knock. I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Mr. Henry. Knock-knock.
Who's there?
Wait a minute.
Have a conversation.
I'm illustrating a point about humor.
You need to look at why your in-laws don't like you.
Okay, Betty, this is why you understand my in-laws, because you don't get knock-knock jokes, okay? So,
all right, Betty, thanks. What did you want me to do?
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
I forgot that you... Oh, Abraham Lincoln.
Abraham Lincoln who?
So you don't know who Abraham Lincoln is? Is that funny?
It's funny.
Okay, see? They don't get that. My in-laws didn't get it.
Well, whatever, man. It's funny. Maybe they didn't laugh.
No, it's not that they didn't laugh at it. It was funny. They didn't get it. How do you not get a knock-knock joke? Jesus. This was at Thanksgiving. I could have started swinging. I was so angry. And I knew that this strike was coming up, or possibility of a strike.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Robert Green, writer. And the writers have settled with the producers, and I guess now that means you guys are going to get some respect from TV viewers?
That is written into the contract, that television viewers must give us some level of respect.
All right, here is James on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello?
Hi.
Yes, sir.
I just had a comment for... your caller. I'm an international vice president. I represent labor, and he's doing a huge disservice to his fellow writers. The first thing you learn when you're negotiating a labor agreement is not to get the community against you. And right now, you're pissing off.
The deal's done. The deal's done, James. Okay.
Now,
you don't represent your
fellow writers. And in fact,
I think it's different. I think. What I do for a living is different from you representing what, typefitters? Or what do you, who do you represent?
Never mind what he does. He's just speaking from a expertise.
Oh, so he knows what I do.
What do you represent? Who? Auto workers?
Well, don't get so defensive. Just listen to my point. Here's the point.
Probably pipesetters.
You're turning the entire 250 million viewers against you, and you need their support right now. And number two, you need to reevaluate your position personally, because your whole problem is that you're the most arrogant person on earth.
Arrogant? Look, I'm Yale educated. I'm funny as hell. I'm a good writer. And I got to sit there night after night while a bunch of people tune into The Mole because they don't like that I'm smarter than them.
If I was you, I certainly wouldn't show up at the next meeting of my fellow writers.
No, the writers know this. They all know it. We talk about it all the time. We go get Danish and coffee over at these joints, and I sit around there going, look at that show stiffed because the people who watch TV hate our guts because we actually know good knock-knock jokes.
Hey, Phil, let's just understand something. Labor is not ignorant to the laws of supply and demand. And we understand that.
All right, James, that's great. 1-800-449-8686. Let's move on here now, if you don't mind, to Anna Marie. Anna Marie, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hi, thank you very much. I've been listening to your program, and I have to agree with the first couple of people that called and their opinions. But I would like to say this. I don't watch any of those shows. I watch good quality TV.
Thank you.
And I would like for him not to interrupt me while I'm talking, for one thing. The other is, I'm only a high school graduate, but I'll tell you what, I do have intelligence, and I can, you know, I think no matter where you come from in this country, no matter what your background, you can be poor or you can be rich. But if you go into a party, as he says, or go wherever you go, it depends on how you carry yourself and as to how successful you'll be in life. I do not know a Yale graduate or anyone that's supposed to have been from one of those high-class colleges, universities. But I'll bet you, mister, that I can hold a candle to you more, you know, anytime. And I can have a conversation with you where you can't keep up with me.
Well, if we were talking about rodeo, you're probably right.
I said
if we were talking about branding steer, you're probably right. I couldn't keep up with you on that.
I'd like to know where you got that steer. Because, you see, sir, I'm originally from Southern California near Los Angeles.
Yeah, like I said, if we were talking about rodeo.
You, sir, have no business even being on the radio. And for you to bring your wife's family on here, you show no respect for your
people,
wife at all.
Okay, here's a joke for you, okay?
You know, you can take your jokes and you can stick them up your ass, buddy.
Oh, yeah, you're very classy. Hello? She hang up?
I guess she hung up, and people are understandably...
Okay, get this joke. A guy walks into a bar...
Will you forget about it? Now, the lady hung up. She's angry. There's a lot of people who watch television who don't understand that you don't mean to offend them.
I mean to offend them.
Well, then how are they going to watch your shows if they're offended by you?
Because I'm good. I'm good at what I do. Because even if you don't like me as a person, you love my writing. It's like a woman falling in love with a guy who is stuck on himself. Women do it every day. They fall in love for guys. The guy thinks he's the greatest thing since sliced bread. And the woman falls in love with him. It happens. I'm a good writer. I write great things. Just funny stuff. Boom, 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 boom.
Well, what does some of your writing compare to?
I would say that a lot of my stuff is similar to some of the groundbreaking things you've seen on Grounded for Life.
Yeah, that's really...
What? What are you talking about?
No, nothing. Okay,
so you don't think Grounded for Life is funny?
I'm not saying anything. I just wanted to,
Home Improvement?
Now, that's funny. Home Improvement. All right, never mind, okay? Here is, Marcia on the Phil Henry Show. Hello? Marcia?
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, well, first of all, I'd like to say I haven't heard anything that he said funny or intelligent yet.
You didn't hear the knock-knock joke.
But and I'm a fairly intelligent person. I'm educated. I make a good income. And I watch television from time to time. I'm not an avid watcher.
You watch Weekend?
But when I do, I don't ever look at the credits. I could care less who wrote it. I have no respect, disrespect. I'm indifferent. I could care less who wrote it.
What about the
actors? Is it entertaining to me? Fine, I'll watch it.
Marcia,
watch it.
Are you giving a speech?
Marcia,
profound, and I'm
Marcia,
by it,
Marcia,
I'll watch it.
Marcia,
I really don't care.
Hello, Marcia.
Who wrote
hello.
It.
Hello.
Yes.
Oh, I just want to know if you could hear me. Go ahead.
Well, what are you doing?
I just said hello. Do you care who stars in it? You go to see, like, the actors. Does that matter?
Not really, no.
Oh, okay.
I don't care if it's Scooby-Doo.
So
I mean,
why do you watch it?
You know,
then why
I mean,
do you
watch? You're like the most, you're
in other words,
such
Marcia,
an egomaniac.
You're
you
an adult woman
that is
who
like
watches Scooby-Doo. That's a little scary.
Point when
well,
he said
I mean,
that you were doing
you
a
like
disservice
that.
To your fellow writers, he's absolutely right.
You watch Scooby-Doo?
I would have never even thought about this until I heard you, and I'm like, oh, my God, this guy is.
All right. Thanks a lot. You're right, Mike. We hit a peak with the preceding call. 1-800, good luck to you, Mr. Green. And
going to hit on her.
That's fine. Great. You can do that. I'll get her number. Get Marcia. Have her call. I'm sure they could have a great conversation. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
This is the Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Phil Henry here, and of course, this is a very special show that you're listening to, the Phil Henry Show. It is unlike any other, and this has been a kind of a tough week for our show, but we've soldiered on. We've received news that has been disturbing, but we continue to believe in our radio show. It's a very special show. It is a show executed by me. I do the voices of the guests as well as my own voice, and to wit, the thing you just heard, the Bob Green, that was me. And we entertain people every single solitary day with just that kind of interactive improv and character-driven and theatrical-driven radio. And I'm just wondering at what point, because I know it's going to happen, when are we going to see the fruits of our labors rewarded to the extent that they should be? Now, I don't mean to sound egotistical. It's just that I believe very strongly in what we do. I think we make some strong points. Not only that, but I think we're just funnier than hell. And I say that to people when they ask me. In fact, I don't think it was included in the piece that was done by Fox News, but I was asked by John Beard, so are you controversial or do you try to be? And I said, I don't want to be controversial. I want to be funny. See, the radio is filled with irreverent people. The radio is just full of controversial and irreverent people. That's easy. It doesn't take any talent to bang a trash can lid with a stick. You'll get everyone's attention. You'll get everybody in the block up. They'll all be awake and they'll start throwing shoes at you if you just stand there and bang a trash can lid with a stick. That's what most of talk radio is about these here days. And then you got us. And we try to do something a little bit different. We actually try to go for the laugh. And I'm telling you right now, I don't know when, I don't know how. I'm a man of great faith. We're going to be adequately rewarded for the outstanding work that this radio show executes each and every day, Monday through Friday. I don't know when, I don't know how, but the people that didn't believe in us, they're, man, are they in for a rude awakening. And I'm not talking about anybody at Clear Channel either. They believe in us. But that's just how I feel, and it needed to be said. I really don't have anything other than that to say. I suppose what we can do until the top of the hour is take some of your phone calls on that or the things. 1-800-449-8686. We'll go to a call here in this is John. Hi, John. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hi, Phil. How are you?
Good.
That's good. I heard you say that. I'm not sure I understood what you just said. You said that you do what?
I do all the voices of the characters that you hear.
Oh, uh-huh. So the people that are on your show, all of them?
No, not all of them. All of the call, like you, the callers, no, I don't do. You, I don't do. The character.
Wait, what do you mean you do? Because I don't know.
I do the voice of the character that comes on.
Okay, and how does that help me express how I feel about different things?
I guess it doesn't.
See, that's what I want in my talk radio. I want to be able to say the things that I wish to say and be able to talk all about it. And I call up, I listen to all the programs, and you say you do what now?
Okay, listen, it's been real nice talking to you.
Oh, see, now you'll hang up on me, and now that's how you're going
to
do that.
No, I'm not going to hang up on you. I don't know how else to tell you. The guy that...
Like that Robert Greene guy.
I did that voice.
Oh, uh-huh.
Okay?
Yeah. Well, hell, that's nothing new. Larry King used to do that on his show.
Who?
Larry King, when he did his radio show.
What do you mean Larry King used to do that on his show?
He did. He would, a lot of nights he wouldn't get any calls, so he'd pick the phone up and call himself.
And Larry King did voice bits?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Bull crap.
Oh yeah? Call him up and ask him. Larry King used to pick the phone up and talk into it on his late night, late night talk show. And did it all the time. Every time he'd do that, Open Lines America.
Yeah.
About 90% of those people were him. Just doing it, because he couldn't get a call. He couldn't pull a call at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Larry King did, you know something? I don't believe you.
Oh, you don't believe me, but some guy calls in and says that he's, he thinks that the writers are hated because they're smarter than the average trailer trash that watches the shows. You believe him?
I did that voice. What do you mean I believe him?
But you did believe him.
I created that guy. Did I believe him? I mean, that's something that I made up.
And all of Phil's listeners, call Larry King's TV talk show and ask him to admit that he did voices. Because you really should...
Look at, pal. The guy that you heard...
Yeah, that Bob Green.
...was me doing that voice.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. Later. Larry King used to do it on his show. Open Line America. Dayton, Ohio, you're on the air.
Hi, Larry.
Yes. And that's Larry just going back and forth. Okay, 1-800-449-8686. I have a very special announcement to make later on in the program. We also are going to talk about Survivor. Did you watch the show last night? I didn't. No, that's right. I did not watch it because I knew that I'd be filled in from top to bottom by my two friends here, Mr. Taylor and Mr. Schaefer, who religiously watched that show. And they gave me the whole rundown, man. We also have Doug Danger coming back. Doug Danger mentioned, as a matter of fact, that he had the winner of last night's Survivor. He picked it on this show. We can prove that because Craig has tape of him picking it on this show and talking to a caller who disagreed with him. And he said that if you don't believe him, if you don't believe his pick for Survivor, then you're a homophobe. So that's coming up also on our program. Our number one rated Phil Henry Best of the Year 2000 CD and album is available at 877-616-PHIL, $20, $3.50 shipping and handling. We're also going to be playing around today of Keep Phil From Hanging Up On You, and that's going to be good for one of our picture discs, of which we've got a few, and I guess we'll give away a couple today. Those are our vinyl picture discs. And that'll be a round of Keep Phil From Hanging Up On You. And I forget, was it 30 seconds we give people to run their guts? And we'll see whether or not we hang up on them. So that's coming up also later on in our program. And again, for those of you who have been big supporters of this radio show, continue. We're not going anywhere. This is no big precursor to any announcement with regard to that. It's just that this is a reiteration of how special this show is, exactly how this show works. And, the more of you that join us, the merrier, because we're weird, man. We need friends. We're really weird. I'm really weird.